Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorek. We're continuing our conversation today about what officials are calling the largest college admission scam in history. Federal prosecutors allege a California businessman, William Ricks Singer, helped parents lie, bribe, and cheat their kids' way into elite colleges. 50 people across the country have been charged in connection with the scheme. Yesterday, while talking about this on Radio Boston, we heard from one mother who said this news felt like a stab in the back.
It makes me feel pretty betrayed that there are two sets of rules here. As the mom on board handling homework night after night and packing backpacks and trying to send the message that if you work hard, good things will happen, it's really hard to hear that if you have the money, you can buy yourself in.
Carrie Rodriguez, founder and mom-in-chief for Massachusetts Parent United, is with us now. Carrie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you are also a mom. You have three young kids. What was your reaction when you heard this news?
Well, my first instinct is kind of to think, you know, my three little boys are Latino, and they're prime candidates for the school-to-prison pipeline. So when I think about, you know, what would be the first thing I would do if I hit the Powerball tomorrow and got $10 million, I would immediately want to buy them the best possible education I could possibly get. So I could understand it.
Yeah. So you mentioned your kids are Latino. We spoke earlier with Dr. Angela Neal. She's a psychologist, author of Soothe Your Nerves, The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding and Overcoming Anxiety, Panic, and Fear. And she said basically that this kind of news, college admissions process being even more rigged than we maybe previously thought, can really trigger some mental health issues for kids. I want to play a little bit of what she said.
You're running the risk of people giving up, becoming hopeless, which is a symptom of depression. But I think if we're talking about mental health, then we're looking at depression and also some anxiety. Well, are they really going to look at my application fairly? What does this mean for me? Is there really a space for me at this college?
So I think that's a really powerful theme that we're seeing kind of again and again from different communities who have already felt like the system is stacked against them. What's your reaction hearing that?
Well, unfortunately, it sounds very familiar. I mean, from where I sit, the system is already stacked against me. It's already stacked against my kids. This is kind of reinforcing of things that we already know. It's hard to hear, you know, that it's so blatant. But, you know, in my personal case, you know, I consider myself to be a survivor of the public education system. I was expelled from a public school. I had to scratch and claw my way to get to college. And all I want for my children and the reason I fight so hard is because I see the inequities in our public school systems and I want to fight to change it. So, you know, I know what they're in for and I can see the difficulties right now. So it's almost just a reaffirmation of things that we already know as a community and the way the deck is already stacked against us.
So I know you said that if you hit the lottery and you had this kind of disposable money that you would maybe consider something like this. I'm curious how you think about from the perspective. We have a statement that just came out today. Jack Buckingham, whose mother was one of the parents charged in this scandal, who said, "I know there are millions of kids out there, both wealthy and less fortunate, who work their butt off to have a shot at the college of their dreams. I'm upset that I was unknowingly involved in a large scheme that helps give kids who may not work as hard as others an advantage over those who truly deserve those spots." Do you think that what the parents were doing here was a disservice to these kids, basically undermining this lesson that if you work hard, it will help you achieve things?
Well, of course, because this is the promise that we give to all of our kids. I mean, I sit down with my kids and say, listen, if you try hard and you do your best, you're going to get someplace in life. And I believe in you, and I'm going to fight as hard as we can to get you through what is an institutionally racist education system. But if you do your part, mommy's going to do her part, and we're going to get you through. So the problem is that, you know, we know that talent is equitably distributed, but opportunity is not. And so I don't have the opportunity to just buy that opportunity for my kids. I don't have those kind of resources. So me promising them that if they do their best, they're going to be able to you know, achieve these amazing goals of getting into the college of their dreams. We know that that's just not the case because the system is rigged against kids like mine. And when it comes down to it, I mean, this is again, not something that's surprising. And when we take a look at what's happening in Boston right now, the valedictorians report, the brand new Boston Foundation report that came out last week about college completion, I mean, we have to understand that children of color and low-income kids are starting out not at the same starting line as every other white kid, and certainly not at the same starting line as every affluent kid. You know, we're starting from 10 miles behind. We've got to run that 10 miles till we get to that starting point so that we can start to talk about, you know, how we can access opportunity. The entire system has to be disrupted. It's just, it's not equitable, and it's not fair.
Yeah, one of the things we've been talking about is, while this is obviously kind of an over-the-top example and illegal, obviously, that there's this kind of whole spectrum of advantages that are available to some. Do you see a difference in your mind in what these parents did and someone who says, who say pledges $2 million to a school to build a new building to maybe help grease the wheels a little bit? Do you see a difference there, or is it all kind of all on the same line?
Well, even that is an extreme example.
Sure.
Okay, because every single day in Massachusetts, we have wealthy parents that are able to provide support for their kids. They can get them music lessons and sports coaching and tutoring and all of these additional supports outside of the traditional school structure that parents like me, we just can't afford. So that, again, that class issue, those race issues always come into play. And those are things that we overlook. At the same time, we also indict parents of color in particular who have done things like, you know, try to sneak their kids into a school where they, or a community that they didn't live in. I mean, there are cases where parents of color have gone to jail and paid enormous fines for being, quote unquote, caught, you know, sneaking their kid into a public education system because they don't, quote unquote, deserve to be there. I mean, like, it's so ludicrous the way that this system is set up, and parents are really trying to do the best they can, especially parents of color, sometimes low-income parents working two or three jobs just trying to survive,
trying to
provide for their kids.
I think you're bringing up some interesting points and talking about some of the more common examples of what some people might call gaming the system. A lot of families will move to a town based on the school district. Do you think that that's a level of gaming the system?
Of course, because that's access to choice. I mean, we have this conversation about whether or not parents should have choice in education. We've been having it for years now, and how, you know, that economic mobility, that upward mobility that parents that have been able to achieve a certain level of economic success, that you have options. If you're not happy with the Boston Public Schools and you have the ability to move to Newton, you're still going to public schools. I mean, that's extraordinary. I mean, that's a game changer for kids.
Yeah.
Now, do you think an average parent living in Roxbury and Mattapan who is earning $30,000 a year has that kind of option if they're not happy with the school they've been assigned to in Boston Public Schools? Of course they don't. So, again, we set parents and kids up in a system that is rigged against them. And we limit the options that parents have to provide that kind of economic and educational foundation that could break a cycle of poverty and stop all this.
So I'm curious kind of how you reconcile, because you say yourself, if you had the means to do some of these things, you would do them. How do you reconcile parents that are just trying to do what's best for their kid with this kind of systemic inequity? And how do we fix it, basically?
Now, I of course say that, you know, I would buy that kind of education for my child tongue in cheek, you know.
Because yeah, but let's say you could move to Newton or a district that has a school with more funds and more resources. Is that something you would do? And would you begrudge parents who do something like that?
Well, would I do that? If I thought that I could take my children out of a system that was, you know, not going to perform for them, of course I would. Because I want what's best for my kids. But
right.
At the same time, we are trying to change a 120-year-old system that is based in systemic racism, institutional racism. Like, that's going to take some time to change. So immediately, out of selfishness for my own kids, are you kidding me? Of course I was. If somebody handed me a check for $1 million and said, Carrie, you can pay for private education for your children, I'd be crazy not to do that. Because the consequences for kids like mine, for Latino children, for Black children, are poverty, incarceration, and death if we do not improve the public education system.
Yeah.
And that is what we have to be focused on.
A lot to unpack here in the story still. That's Carrie Rodriguez, founder and mom in chief for Massachusetts Parents United. Carrie, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, looking back at the fight for women's suffrage 100 years later. I'm Chris Siderick. This is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet. because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.